Is there another word in the English dictionary that conjures up feelings of nostalgia? Like home. Gives you the warm fuzzies, if you know what I'm saying. For many, it brings back good memories. John Ed Pierce said, and I quote, "Home is a place where you grow up wanting to leave and you grow old trying to get back to." Four of us brothers were born in Oceanside. And even though we only lived there till I was seven, there's something special to me about 1325 Cornish Drive. I love the smell of the ocean, the sound of the wave crashing on the seashore and the pier, the feeling of the ocean breeze on my face. It just brings back memories of our families getting together with all of our cousins and queuing it up every Saturday. Listening to some Kalapana. One person knows Kalapana, huh? And if you're Samoan, you have a lot of cousins. Because the adults in your life, they're not Mr. and Mrs., they're uncle and auntie. The kids you roll with, they're not, whether you're blood related or not, they're not just your friends, we call them cousins. Home, in a perfect world, home means mom and dad. Hot, nice, home-cooked meals. Free laundry. What about that? Siblings getting along. Imagine that. That's in a perfect world. But you and I know all too well we don't live in a perfect world. Far from it. Well, most of us live in a house, but this evening I want to ask you, do you have a home? Because yes, there is a difference. One man said, a house is made with walls and beams. A home is built with love and dreams. Christian Morgenstern said, home is not where you live. Home is where they understand you. There's no place like home. For some of us, that is a positive statement. But for many, it's a reminder of the pain. Some scars you still carry on with you because of the tragic home you come from. Our dad is a retired Marine, Pentecostal preacher. Bummer combination when you're a kid. I got to tell you, you know, with raising 12 kids, I mean, there was not a whole lot of messing around in our home. Many times, the last place my brothers and I wanted to be was home. I remember the day Sam, my brother on the keys, he came home and he had an F on his report card. How do you give a report card with an F to a Marine dad? But you know, Sam, he was pretty creative. And I was wondering, what's going to happen? And Sam's kind of like, here's my report card, Dad. My dad opened it. He said, Sam, something doesn't look right about this B right here. It was not a good night at home for Sam. Jesse, our youngest brother, he was in second grade. He's about 7 years old, and like we did every morning, he went to kiss mom and dad goodbye before school, and on his way out, he passed their dresser where they used to leave their change, their coin, or a few dollars, whatever was left, and Jesse decided on his way out he was going to help himself to $2 without asking. My dad saw the whole thing. But in Marine-like fashion, my dad waited till Jesse would get to school, and then he went after him. He went to the school. He told the principal that he needed to see Jesse in the office, and Jesse came out. And my dad spiritualized everything. Parents, don't do this to your kids. My dad said, "Jesse, I had a dream. And God spoke to me in my dream. He said, you took something from my room." Jesse's like, "No, Dad, I did it." Poor Jesse didn't know that $2 bills were peeking out of his pocket right there. It was a rough, rough afternoon for Jesse when he got home. I was going to tell a story about myself, but we're running out of time, so I'll just move on. I remember April 21st, 1988. It was the hardest day up to that point in our lives for me and my brothers. My mom, our mother, battled cancer for over 4 years, and that day, she went to home to be with Jesus. And so when we got home, we were in the living room, my brothers and I, and we were devastated, shocked, looking for some comfort, looking for a word of encouragement that usually came from our dad, but he wasn't there. We were like, where's dad? Went outside, looked for him, came back in the house, and our house was small, so we were like, where could he be? And then we heard something coming from the master bedroom closet. I remember going and opening up my mother's closet, and in the middle was my dad, who never showed a whole lot of emotion or affection, on his knees, draped in my mother's dresses, weeping. Honey, honey, I miss you. Please come home. You might hear our little stories and you're saying to yourself, dude, you don't know the half. Because your home is brokenness. Your home reeks with abuse physically, emotionally, and verbally. Your home is where death is spoken and dreams are broken. Nothing nice is ever said in your home. Your home is in financial ruins and you've lost it all or are about to lose it all. Or maybe you have everything money can buy, but you're still lonely inside. You feel like that man who said, man, I spent my life climbing the ladder, and when I got to the top, it was leaning against the wrong wall. You're a teenager, and your home is where you feel like no one understands you. Your home is cutting yourself because the emotional pain is so deep inside, you figure if you can inflict some pain on the outside, that emotional pain will disappear. Your home is where there are people around you and you still feel lonely. Your home is a single parent trying to do your best. And when you look around at other families that seem to have it all together, you just get frustrated and discouraged because you feel like no matter what you do, you can't get ahead. Maybe your home is a hidden secret, a sin that nobody else knows about, but it's dominating your life and it's killing you. Can I tell you, no matter what your home looks like, God, the master carpenter, the master builder, has an amazing plan for your home. He loves you. He's not mad at you. And like that song says, whoever you are, wherever you've been, this is love. Turn around. Come on home. So for the next few minutes, I want to talk to you briefly about this subject. I want to give you directions on how to find your way home. Look to your neighbor and say, hey, I'm going home. Don't get up yet, right now. That's just the topic. All right, open your Bibles to Luke 15. I want to talk about a story, a very familiar story. It's a parable of the lost son, the story of the prodigal. Luke 15, 11 through 32. Just follow along, I'll read it. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. If you mark your Bible, underline this next verse, verse 17. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, underline this, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, underline this, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. So many of us are like this son. Trying to find your way back home, here's the first step. Number one, make an immediate stop at reality. Everybody say reality. Verse 17 says this brother came to his senses. And so many of us have been walking slowly, running away from home, and we turn around and we're like, how did I get here? We've never dealt with the reality of our situation. Here's the reality. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, sinners, dead, we fall short. That's our reality. Reality number two, in Matthew 7, it says, he who hears these words and puts them into practice is like the man who built his house on the rock. The wind and the rain came, and his house stood strong because his house was built on the rock. Reality number two is this: you cannot build your home on your own. Oh, you may try with your money, your ability, your education, your good deeds, your good name, but you can't do it on your own. See, the emphasis in the scripture, Matthew 7, is not that this brother built his house, but it's where he built his house, on the rock, Jesus. You want to come home? You need Jesus, every one of us. Make an immediate stop at reality. Number two, everybody say reality. Number two, take a right turn at repentance. Repentance, everybody say repentance. Repentance means to change your mind, to change your way of thinking. So if we're all sinners, we're walking this way, repentance is a 180 degrees turn this way. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to the world, the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can know God's perfect will, his pleasing will for you." You've heard it before. Change your mind, change your life. Repentance. Luke 13:3 says, "Unless you repent, you will die." Acts 3:19 says, "Repent and be converted, that your sins will be wiped away, so times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord." Who needs times of refreshing? I know I do. My son Eli is 12. He is the life of the party. He came out telling jokes. I mean, he talks about himself in the third person many times. "Mom, what are you making Eli for breakfast this morning? Who's driving Eli to school?" The other day I used the Pastor Miles line on him because I said, "Hey, E, you got to clean your room." He said, "What do I get, Dad?" I said, "You get to stay here for free one more night." But Eli, he doesn't like it when there's rifts in the house. I mean, he wants everybody to be cool. And so he's, you know, just so, a lot of times he's like, oh, "I'm sorry, Mom. Sorry, Josh. Sorry, sorry, Dad. Sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." Finally, I said, "E, you can't just be saying sorry without changing. You can't be doing the same thing over and over again, just sorry, sorry, sorry." And many of us, like Eli, need to get off the treadmill of sorry, sin, sorry, oh, sin, sorry, sin, sorry, sin. Oh, God is gracious. Oh, yes, he is. But do you know that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives in us? And not only is that power to forgive us when we fall, it's the power that keeps us from falling over the same thing over and over and over again. Come on, can I get a witness? You know, when I talk about repentance sometimes, and I've done this myself, people are like, "Well, what do I give up? What do I have to give up?" You give up pain for promises. Broke heart for a whole heart. Sorrow for joy. Death for life. Bondage for freedom. Prejudice for love. What you get for what you give is a deal in your favor. Take a turn at repentance. Lastly, continue on the highway of forgiveness. Everybody say forgiveness. Forgiveness. The son, he repented, but the beauty of the story is not only the fact that he came to grips with reality and repented, but when he got there, his father, when he said, Dad, I don't need to be called son, call me servant. He says to his servant, quick, bring a robe. Bring sandals. Bring a ring. Kill the fat calf. We're going to celebrate. My son was lost, but now he's come home. Basically, I forgive you. Forgiveness. Easier said than done. Our motivation to do music was to please our dad. And it seemed like no matter how hard we tried, it was never good enough. Our mother would constantly stand in his stead. Say, you know your dad loves you. You know he's proud of you. Fathers, can I just encourage you with one thing? Save your kids a lot of stress. Tell them often that you love them and that you're proud of them. Not because of what they do, but because of who they are. So when mom passed away, not only did we lose our best friend, we lost the bridge to our dad. So for years, my brothers and I are traveling, telling people about Jesus, my father's pastoring, and don't get me wrong, Dad was definitely a godly man, a man of prayer, a man of faith. We knew that, man, there's just, our relationship is not cool. So without going into all the details, I remember my dad calling Sam and saying, Sam, I need to talk to you guys. So we all got together at Sam's home, and my dad's 4,000 miles away. We put him on speakerphone, and he starts to tell us his life story. And then he says this, Sam, Joe, James, John, Jesse, I've never told you, but I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. He said, I know the only reason why you're still decent young men is because of God's grace and the prayers of your mother. Then he said this, would you please, please forgive me? He said, I knew I was going to call you guys, but I've been praying for the last 2 weeks. How do I ask the person that I need the most forgiveness from? She's no longer here. He said, I wrote this letter and climbed up this mountain by where I'm staying at. And when I got to the top, I read it to your mother. He said, when I left the mountaintop, I didn't hear an audible voice. But sons, I know without a shadow of a doubt, she's forgiven me too. Jesus said, forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Lewis Smead says, to forgive is to release a prisoner, only to realize that prisoner was you. The highway of forgiveness has two lanes. Some of us are on the lane, like the son, where we need to be forgiven. Others are on the lane, like the father, where we need to forgive. What about it? You want to come home? You ready to come to grips with reality? You ready to repent? You ready to forgive? All heads bowed and all eyes closed. I want to ask you if that's you. See, you're talking to me. I'm far from home. Let me tell you this, God the Father is waiting for you. What would your marriage be like if you would just come home? Young girl, you've been rejected and mistreated. God's waiting for you to come home. Brother, it's a tough world out there. You've been beat down by the worries of life. You can't make it on your own. Your father, your perfect and loving dad is waiting for you to come home. The choice is yours. If that's you and you say, that's me, nobody looking around, I'm just going to ask you, would you just stand wherever you are? God bless you. God bless you, sweetie. God bless you. Sir, God bless you. God bless you. Sister, God bless you. God bless you, sir. Stay standing, please. God bless you. Sir, I see you. God bless you, brother. God bless you. 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 Stay standing.
I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my kingdom awaits, and he's forgiven my mistakes. I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my kingdom awaits, and he's forgiven my mistakes. I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home.
We're going to sing one more song, but before we do, I'm going to pray. After this song, if you need prayer, more prayer than a specific issue, we have people to my left, to your right. They're waiting right here at a room here, and they would love to pray with you, pray for you, and welcome you home. Lord, we thank you that you know everything about us, yet you still love us. We thank you, God, that as we come to grips with the reality of our lives, we're so desperately in need of a Savior. And God, we repent, but we know it's your goodness, it's your love that draws us to repentance. Lord, we ask you to forgive us, and we thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, help us to forgive those who have wronged us, for some people so deeply. We can't do it on our own, but we're thankful that we don't have to. Strengthen us to forgive so we can have the home that you want us to have.